You are so welcome to Open Arms Church. My name is Sean Booth, and the pastor here. And today is so exciting because we are on RT1 at 11 a.m., an open arms service with worship and a testimony. And I got to preach a message being overwhelmed with fear, yet overcome with the love and the grace of Jesus. If you haven't already, make sure you press record or you can catch it on the RT player after it is aired. But really want to encourage you, share it with your world, share it with everyone, because it's such an exciting day that we have been on national television at such an important time in our country, sharing hope and the love of Jesus. And tonight we've got our roundtable podcast at 8 p.m. And I had the opportunity to sit down with Jamie Corcoran, pastor of Lighthouse Church in Navan and Dublin. And we got to discuss what it's been like, the difficulties of life and lockdown and that comes along with family and work. And also got to discuss leadership and how to center and prioritize our lives around Jesus. So join with us tonight, 8 p.m. on Facebook and YouTube. And tomorrow we're launching a week of prayer and fasting for 5 days. And it's on the Wednesday night at 8 p.m. We're going to have a prayer online on Facebook and YouTube. Love for you to join with us for some worship and some prayer. But we're really asking everyone in our church community to consider fasting. You may decide to fast for one meal or all three meals throughout the day. But the purpose really is to hunger before the Lord. It is to focus on Him above everything else. And I really believe it's going to be important and vital time in our lives, in our church and in our nation to come to Jesus, to pray on behalf of our people and for our own lives and see what He might just do. But today is week 5 of our series, Good News. I really hope that you were encouraged and blessed by Pastor Larry Bry from Elevation Church. Last week, he spoke a message, It's Your Time. And if you missed the message, you can catch up with it on podcast or on YouTube. But today, I really believe that I've got a word in season. This is a word that I believe is for you, for today, for now, in this moment, to build up your faith and to encourage you. Why don't you comment right now if you're watching saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. If you're watching on Facebook, why don't you hit the share button? Share this word with your world, because there might be someone in your world right now who needs to hear this hope and this encouragement for their own life. But if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We've been going through the book of Colossians. It is in the New Testament, written by the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to this small Christian community within the town of Colossae. It's a new Christian community led by Epaphras, who is a minister and a friend of Paul. And Paul says in verse 9, he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience." I love verse 11 in the Message translation. It says it like this. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out over the long haul. Not the grim strength of gritting your teeth, but the glory strength God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable. I love that. A strength that endures the unendurable. And today I want to speak to you on the title, The Strength to Stick It Out. The Strength to Stick It Out. You know, when I'm studying scripture, I love to listen to worship music. And as I was reading and over these verses and just reading them over and over again, an old song came into my headphones. And the words are like this. I won't sing it for you. I won't put you under that. But I'll read out the words. And it says this. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. And that song and that line is just sung over and over and over again. God's love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. And you know, if you were to ask me what my life message is, it's this. Never give up. Never give up. At the end of my life, I want people to be able to say about me that No matter what he endured, no matter what he went through, no matter what he faced, he never gave up. He never gave up on God, and he never gave up on those he loves, and he encouraged those around him to never give up. And I want to encourage you, when all else fails, when you fail, when everything and everyone around you fails, never give up. Why? Because his love never fails. God will never give up on you. So ask him for the strength to stick it out and never give up. This life message, really, one of the moments that shaped this for me was back in the year of 2017. And the moment that marked this year and this time in my life was the morning of my 30th birthday. A few months before, myself and Gillian started the preparation for our church plant in Dublin. And I remember it was a great morning of great celebration. Gillian was preparing a birthday breakfast and we were going to celebrate over it. And then I got a call from my brother-in-law who told me that there'd been a suicide through one of our family members. So I jumped in the car and I drove over to the house and we hugged and we cried, and it was an incredibly difficult and painful season. And one of the reasons for that was that the 6 months prior, there'd been a number of friends and family members who had taken their own life. Not only that, in the months after that moment, there was very close friends and close family members who had also taken their life. It was somewhere between 9 and 10 people that were close to us who had committed suicide. One of them was one of Gillian's oldest childhood friends that she'd been trying to help get her life together at the time. And it was a year of complete darkness and death. It was a year where we had experienced those around us that the life being snatched away and lives being filled with so much grief and pain that will never leave. And during the funeral, a few days after that day, on the 26th of July, I was holding my son Liam at the back of the church because the church was packed. And I was holding Liam, who was a baby at the time. And I was standing beside this young man with her baby. We're standing beside each other the whole time during the ceremony. And the next day, we heard that she too had taken her own life only hours later after the funeral. And that really devastated me. That impacted me to think that there was this young, beautiful woman with her life ahead of her, standing there the next day, leaving behind a young family with no mom to care for. And here's the thing that impacted me and really resonated with me. I'd never experienced such widespread hopelessness and heartbreak from a community that was yearning, that was breaking, that was yearning for hope and for help, and never received it from the local church. It was just a ceremony with no love. It was just a religion with no Jesus. So myself and Jill, we committed that we will build a life-giving church so that others may experience life change and hope through relationship with Jesus Christ. You know what? It's not about numbers. It's not about buildings or finances. It's about people. And it's about people's lives. It's about giving life to those who are dead spiritually. It's about giving hope to those who are living hopelessly. It's about giving others a reason to live rather than taking their own life. It's about giving others the strength to stick it out, to stick it through the hardships and the difficulties, through the darkness and through the depression, and through the battles that deplete us and leaving us feeling like we want to give up. I know right now there are many of you who are hearing my voice and you're hearing these words and you want to give up. Or maybe you have given up. No, you haven't come to the place where you want to take your own life right now, but maybe you've come to the place where you've thrown in the towel and you no longer want to live your life, not the way in which you have been living. Maybe you can no longer stick it out because you haven't got the strength. But I want to preach hope to your life right now. I want to inspire your soul. I want to speak faith and a fight into your heart that will rise up such strength within you that you will decide that I will not give up and I will be determined to follow Jesus. And here's the thing. This is not about you having more faith. This is not about you having more strength or having more might. This is about you living your life worthy of the Lord and pleasing Him by being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience, so that you will never give up and so that you will have the strength to stick it out. Come on, if you agree with me right now in the comment section, say amen. Amen. Because I believe today that the Lord can fill you up with the strength that you need, that no matter where you are, no matter what season of life you are in, God can give you the strength that you need. So together we're going to dive deeper into this scripture and discover how can we live our lives this way. What Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, I have come so that you may have life, have it to the full. That as Christians, Jesus has called us to live life to the full. Now, what does this full life look like? Is it a life that no longer has any suffering or any pain or never struggles? Is it a life that never has any want or need? No. For we see Jesus modeled for us a life of great suffering, great pain. In fact, the church right through history has suffered greatly. In fact, we look around our world today. We just got to open up our phones and see the amount of people who look like they have everything they want and need and yet are not happy or content and still pursuing the feeling of fullness. No. Paul describes that a life lived to the full is a life that's worthy of the Lord and pleasing Him in every way. The Living Bible says it like this, that the way you live will always please the Lord and honor Him. And so next, in these next two verses, verse 10 and 11, Paul then lays out this what this full life looks like lived out, what it looks like practically. Now, most theologians, when they approach this scripture, they break it up into two, into verse 10 and verse 11 that come together as one. That is, Christians, in order to live the life in which Jesus intends for us, to live it as the full, we need to live our lives with both fullness of knowledge and fullness of power. Fullness of knowledge where we will bear fruit in every good work, and fullness of power that we will have the endurance and the patience to keep going. Let me show it for you in the New American Standard Bible. It says it like this. This is a life bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That we as Christians, we're called to increase and grow in the knowledge of God. Well, what kind of knowledge is this? Well, in verse 9, Paul says that it is the knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. That this is not informational knowledge, this is insightful knowledge. It is a knowledge only received through the Holy Spirit and through relationship with Jesus. It is a growing belief and trust in God, knowing what He has done and knowing what He is calling us to. It is a knowing and a knowledge that produces within us a confidence and assurance. It is a fullness of knowledge. Verse 11 says it like this, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. This is a divine power given to human lives. It is the empowering of ordinary Christians with all power according to His glorious might. The Amplified Translation says that we would be invigorated. You need to be invigorated today and strengthened through this power. The Living Bible says so that you can keep going no matter what happens, that we will have patience and endurance. It's living our lives with both fullness of knowledge and fullness of power. You see, some denominations within Christianity, they have a fullness of knowledge, but a very low view of power. And what happens is, this creates more of an intellectual focus on God. Likewise, there's many denominations within Christianity that they have fullness of power, but a very low view of knowledge. And so what happens is it creates more of an experiential view and focus of God. And as central Christians, as Christians being centered in Christ, we are to both have an intellectual and experiential focus in our faith. We're pursuing a fullness of knowledge and a fullness of power. Now, why is this? Well, when we often get to a place where we want to give up, okay, we no longer want to, we no longer have the strength to stick it out and to persevere. We no longer have the determination or the steadfastness in which is being said here, or even the patience to endure. What happens is we usually come to one of two conclusions or one of two dead ends. But firstly is this: we come to a place where we don't know what to do, or we don't know why this has happened. We can't make sense of it in order to make sense of this and surrender it and to move on. Or simply we've lost all basis of knowledge for our life because everything we thought we knew has now been pulled out from under us. This can often happen because of a betrayal or a trauma or a great loss in our life and pain in our life. It can be a breakdown in a relationship. It can be a loss or death of a loved one. It can be the loss of a job. Or on the flip side, it can even be good things. Be like having a brand new baby or finding your partner or getting a promotion in your job or having an open door, an open opportunity. And you come to a place where you still do not know what to do. And it's in this place that the Christian must come to God for he knows. You see, as we increase in our knowledge of him, we will know what he wants us to do as he reveals to us the knowledge of his will through the wisdom and understanding given to us through the Holy Spirit, which causes us to bear fruit in every good work. Now, the second place that we come to when we get to the end of ourselves and we no longer have the strength to stick it out is when we don't just know what to do, or we've lost all basis or foundation of what we know, but it's when we don't have the strength to do what we know. We may have the knowledge, but we don't have the power, where we might be zapped just emotionally and mentally and physically and spiritually. We're just void of all energy, lost of all hope, struggling to get through the day, crying it out, I don't have the strength to go on. You see, it's in this place, when we turn to the Lord, that we receive the strength of his power according to his glorious might, where we know what to do and we know that God will give us the strength to do what we know, that he will equip us with the strength, that he will empower us with the strength that comes from him and him alone. You see, as Christians, knowledge and power must go hand in hand. I want to illustrate to you with this lamp that I have here right beside me. This lamp is a story of perseverance. Many of you may not know, but the man who created this long-lasting bulb, his name is Thomas Edison. And Thomas Edison was known as a failure. And he was famously asked the question by a reporter saying, how does it feel to fail 10,000 times? And he says, I didn't fail. I just found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. He also said this. He said, success is 1%. Inspiration and 99% perspiration. He invented and found success by never giving up. Now, here's the thing I want to illustrate to you today is this. If I know everything about this lamp, I know how it operates. I know how it works. I know how it's all put together, but I don't know how to plug it in. And I don't know how to access the power that I need. Well, this lamp is useless. Reminds me of the illustration of the elephant who, when it was just a child, was tied up to a very short wooden post and it couldn't break free from it. And as that elephant grew but was continuously tied to the wooden post, as it even became an adult elephant, it still saw that little wooden post as restrictive because it didn't realize the power that it possessed. It couldn't access the potential of the power that was within the elephant, that it could just rip up the wooden post if it wanted to any day of the week. The same is true with this lamp. If I know everything about the Bible, and I know God, and I know all of the Sunday school stories, but I don't know how to access the power of God, it is like a useless lamp. It is like an elephant that cannot move. And this is a faith that has no strength. We must have a knowledge of what we're facing. We have a knowledge and understanding of God and the truths and the theology and how it's all put together. And here's the second thing. We must have a knowledge of the power. You see, here's the flip side of it. If I know how to plug in the lamp, I know how to access the power, and I know that this can be the source of my strength. I know how to turn it on. But if I don't know what happens maybe when something goes wrong? What happens when maybe there's a part missing or a part faulty? What happens if maybe the light bulb goes missing and I don't know how to put it back together? Maybe even in our own life, we don't know the word of God and the knowledge of God, that maybe as we're navigating through the trials and troubles and we face this time in our life where we feel like we're depleted of all strength and energy, and we don't have the knowledge. We may have the access to the power, but we don't have the knowledge to put it together. Just last year in November, I came to a place where I was completely depleted of energy. I was probably the lowest part of my life than I've ever been before. And I remember it was the only time that I wanted to give up. I wanted to stop. I felt like I knew how to access the power of God. I knew that God was the source of my strength. But I couldn't come to a place because I felt like something was broken, something was missing, and I couldn't put it back together. So what did I do? I went to find some help, searched out some wise counsel and input in my life, and began to receive some help. But then this is what I did. I went back to my knowledge of God. I went back to my knowledge of God's word. And I began to grow again in my knowledge of his word. And slowly what happened is I figured out how to put the right pieces in the right parts. And very slowly, the source of my strength once again was found. And I felt the strength of God like I'd never felt before. I was able to come to a place where I could take my knowledge of God, the fullness of knowledge, and also the fullness of his power through his Holy Spirit, and put them together and receive the strength that I needed. In order to live the life to the full in which Jesus has called us to live, in order to have the strength to stick it out, we must have fullness of knowledge and growing and increasing in our knowledge, and also the fullness of the power of God, the fullness of the power that will give us the endurance and the strength to keep going, to steadily continue and persevere despite the pain that we're experiencing, the suffering that we're going through, despite the darkness and the depression that might overwhelm our lives, and still, yet, despite all of this, still have the strength to stick it out. And as I finish, I want to ask the question, how? How do we receive this? How do we receive the fullness of knowledge and the fullness of power? And so in this time of preparation this week and prayer, we just began to sit down and seek God and worship and just say, God, how? What is the way that you want me to communicate this? And I really felt God give it to me like this to illustrate to you. Is that each of us as Christians, as we give our life to Jesus, you and me, we find hope and new life in Jesus Christ. We commit to follow him. We become Christians. Now, like Jesus has called us, we receive the life that he's given us, the life to live to the full. There's two things that we need. The first thing that we need is knowledge. This is not just informational, it's insightful. This is a divine knowledge that comes from the Spirit. This is full of wisdom and understanding. This is the intellectual part of our faith. This is where we are to be growing in God continuously every single day. And here's the second thing that we need, is that we need the power. This is the power that comes from his glorious might. This is the experiential part of our faith. This is the power that gives us the patience and the endurance and the strength that we need. And the question that I ask, and I'm sure you're asking today, is how? How do we get to a place where we can grow in our knowledge and we can grow in our power? And this is what God gave me, and it's probably not at all what you think it is, but this is what he gave me to share with you today is this. What we need is a very simple word, and it's this. T-I-M-E. Time. It takes time. You see, I know that we want the quick fix. We want the seven simple steps to get to the place where we can have the knowledge and power, but God says, it's time. It takes time. It's time with him. It's time with the Lord. Time in the presence of God. Time doing what, you may ask? Well, here's the two things that God gave me that the time that requires for us to do. It's time in the word and time in worship. You see, as we spend time in the word, we grow in our knowledge of God. We grow in our understanding of him. It's not just an instructional manual that gives us like how to do. These words that we're reading are not just black and white words. They are life-giving words. The word is living and active. It gives us a deeper intellectual knowledge that we could ever have because it's insight through the Holy Spirit, this God-breathed, powerful book that we read. And it also gives us a power. Why? Because now we stand on the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we stand on the truth of the word, and it gives us power. And as we spend time in the word, we increase in our knowledge and power to live life to the full in which Jesus has called us to. And here's the second thing is worship. Worship can give us knowledge that we could never receive by our earthly selves. Worship, it's in the presence of God where he can reveal things to us and download things within our spirit that it may have taken others decades to come to a conclusion of, and yet we can learn it from him in a moment. You see, for me, as a child growing up through Sunday school and hearing all the Bible stories, I knew God. I knew all about him. I knew the word. But it was in a moment of worship as a 17-year-old boy that I experienced God and I received not just the knowledge of God, but the power of his Holy Spirit. He empowered my life in such a way that from that moment until now, I never looked back. From that moment until now, being strengthened and having the strength to stick it out. Maybe you're out of place as a Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian now for a short amount of time or maybe for many years and you're looking around, you're saying, how can I grow? What happens that I keep coming to this place where I face this barrier or boundary and it sets me back? I want to live life to the full. I want to have the strength to stick it out. Well, you need to grow in your knowledge and your power. How? It's time. Spending time with the Lord through word and worship. You know, this week, you know, in the last few weeks, I've been praying to God saying, God, you know, what are we supposed to do? Do you ever feel like it's like you do one thing and then something else happens, more restrictions, more lockdowns, economically things are beginning to change again and all different stuff is happening as we're entering into the winter months? And I really felt God say this, is to pray and to fast. Jesus says there are some things that can only be changed through prayer and fasting. These 5 days, I want to challenge you. Why don't you carve out some time? Why don't you carve out some time to receive? Why don't you carve out some time to invest in the word and in worship? Like me, oftentimes I just put my earphones on because I can have three loud and crazy kids in the background. Put my headphones on, put on some worship, experience the presence of God, open his word, and meditate on his scriptures. You know, maybe you're at a place where maybe you have never received Jesus. You've never placed your faith in him. You've never received the love of Jesus. Or maybe you did receive the love of Jesus and you have a moment in your life that you can remember that you gave him your life, but you've come to a place where you've stopped growing, that your faith has grown stale. I want to give you the opportunity today to place your faith in Jesus, to start again, to give your life over to him and to ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. I wonder right now, could you just close your eyes where you are or just take this moment to pray with me? I want to lead you into a prayer, a very, very simple prayer. You might just whisper them under your breath. But just say with me, Jesus, I give you my life. I need you. I need your strength because I feel like giving up. I ask you that you would be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I really believe that it can be a significant moment in your life of surrender to Him. Coming back to the place where you are committing to increase and grow in your knowledge of God and also to receive the power according to His glorious might. If you made that decision for the very first time today, we'd love to connect with you. And all that we'd ask you to do is go to openarms.ie/connect. And there you'll see a very simple form. And you can just fill that out and tick the box. I'm committing my life to Jesus. That will get sent through to our team. And we're going to contact you through email or text this week and find a time to be able to connect with you, to pray with you, to hear your story, and to be able to help you in your next step in this journey. But as we prepare to worship, one last time, I really want to encourage you to ask the Lord, what does He want you to fast from? You know, oftentimes it's about giving up one thing so that you can receive more of the Lord. Why do we fast from food? Well, really, our physical hunger can stir up a spiritual hunger for the Lord. That we take our focus off the earthly things and we place our focus on our Heavenly Father. I want to pray for you just as we finish. What I pray for every single man, woman, teenager, student that is watching this right now who might be feeling like giving up, who might be feeling like they have no more strength to continue on and to go forward. I pray right now that you would fill them supernaturally with your spirit and your power like never before, and the strength would just well from within their soul. Give them the endurance and the patience that they need. In Jesus' name, amen.